Today our text is found in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 24, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. I'm going to repeat that. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the self with its passions and its desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me and for me this morning? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our understanding. Amen. Today we come to the last of the nine manifestations or attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. And when I hear it, I want to say, now God, you're meddling. You ever felt like God is meddling? Well, with this one, God is meddling. Self-control is a virtue with which I'd say all of us have struggled. Some more than others, or some in areas different from others, but it's something all of us struggle with day in and day out. There are those things that are just too tempting to pass up or hard to refrain from doing. Foods and overeating, usually emotional eating, staying well past bedtime, kids, playing video games or listening to music or playing on your phone. I'm guilty about staying up well past bedtime and scrolling on my phone. Drinking excessively or not waiting the full time prescribed before you take that next pain med. Getting and passing along the latest gossip on one of our classmates, our neighbors, our coworkers, being quick with advice instead of just being a quiet presence with someone in crisis, lashing out at the server because the meal we ordered didn't come to our liking. Every day we are faced with situations and things that tempt us to act in ways that are not always good for us. At least, at the very least, and sometimes downright destructive. Even if we are able to resist temptation, we often find ourselves throwing self-control out the window at some point and giving in to our desires to have or do what we know that we should not. Like I said, self-control is meddling. Talking about self-control is meddling. Now, you know I love coffee. I make no bones about it. But you probably have figured out that I also love food. I love good, rich, flavorful foods. I often say that my brothers, I have the three brothers, as I've mentioned, my brothers got the skinny jeans, and that's G-E-N-E-S, the skinny jeans, which means they can wear skinny jeans too. And I didn't get those skinny jeans. Somehow I got, I guess, the Barker side of the family with the I just look at something and the weight is on me. I just have to look at it. So they got the skinny jeans and they're still skinny. They're in their 60s and close to 70 and they're still skinny. Makes me sick. I'm quite jealous of that. But growing up with three older brothers and then all of their friends that they would bring over that would gather around the dinner table, it was get what you could on your plate, and if you got it on your plate, you ate it. No matter who was there and what was fixed. And of course, Mom always made plenty because she always expected that we would be bringing friends over to the house. So I never really learned portion control or learned to turn something away. In our family, though, food was rather bland, especially after Dad had his first heart attack and Mom just kind of quit doing fried food and all of that kind of stuff. But we had in our spice cabinet, we had cinnamon, we had celery salt, we had your typical salt and pepper and chili powder, and occasionally we would have nutmeg if we were going to do an apple pie. So that's pretty much the spices that I grew up eating. When I got out on my own and I began to cook for myself, I began experimenting in the kitchen. And I love to mix and mingle all of these spices and herbs, and how I knew what went with what, I have no idea. But I grew to love good, healthy, not healthy, good, rich, not healthy, good, rich, flavorful food. So as a result, I have struggled with my weight my entire life, doing the yo-yo thing. I know a lot of us here have been there. And then after my heart attack a couple of years ago, I got really serious. I mean, really disciplined. And I lost the 70 pounds. Then came time for the move, and it was a lot easier to just go get something already made instead of cooking it so I would have time to get packed. I got here. Y'all have a whole lot more restaurants to eat at than Morristown had, and they taste a whole lot better. And so I have found, not all of it, but some of those 70 pounds again. Self-control is a struggle for me. It is a struggle for me. And it is for many of us. Once you cross that boundary, it is hard to go back. It's extremely difficult to go back. So here I am today, still not eating as healthy as I should. I have spurts. And then something comes along, or something happens, or I need to eat something quickly, and I'm right back in that wrong path. Lack of self-control is harmful in many ways, and not always in the ways that are obvious. 1 Corinthians 10:23 through 24 says, everything is permitted, but everything isn't beneficial. We think, well, we have to eat, and friends, churches are among the worst places to try to stay in a healthy eating pattern, because we love our covered dishes. Yesterday, we had a biscuits and gravy for breakfast, bacon, all those things, bad stuff. Good stuff, but bad stuff. But everything is permitted, but everything doesn't build others up. No one should look out for their own advantage, but they should look out for each other. And so all of these things that we're allowed to do don't necessarily mean that it's good for us to do, not only because it harms us, but also because it harms others as well. One way a lack of self-control is harmful is that it affects our relationship with God. Our lack of self-control affects our relationship with God. What happens when we give in to those desires, those passions, those things that we know we should not be doing? Like the man and the woman in the garden, we hide, don't we? We feel guilty. And when we feel guilty, we forget that God still knows what's going on and that God still loves us. But yet we feel like we have to withdraw with God because we're embarrassed, we're ashamed, and we don't want to hurt God. We don't want to feel disciplined by God. And so the more we distance ourselves from God, the more difficult it is for us to have a relationship with God. And so self-control affects our relationship with God. But we've also been reflecting on the different attributes of the fruit of the Spirit as relational in nature, with other people as well. When we think of self-control, we tend to think of it as personal, not affecting others. But it really does affect others as well. For instance, a lack of self-control can hurt our witness. I often remind myself that when we talk about our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit, yet we don't take care of our bodies, that affects our witness to other people. Because we want to remind people that they are worthy and they are loved by God. But yet here we are not taking care of our own bodies, which is God's temple. If we care and love God, if we care and love others, why would we not care for our own selves? When we lash out at someone, our words hurt them. Our words hurt those people that we lash out to, whether it be a family member, whether it be, like I mentioned earlier, someone, a server at a restaurant, whether it be our next door neighbor, whether it be a classmate, our best friend on the playground. When we lash out at others, we hurt them. When we drive under the influence, we all know what can happen there. How many lives have been lost because people have not had self-control and have driven under the influence? When we spread rumors, when we get in the middle of that gossip and we begin to share those things that we've heard, and those words get back to the people that have been the subject of that gossip, what happens? It hurts. Or sometimes it can even hurt them in their business or in other relationships. Self-control isn't just about ourselves. It's about how we also control what we do so that we don't affect others. But did you ever think about self-control also having an effect on justice issues? We don't think about it in the big picture, do we? But self-control can also lead to issues of injustice. For instance, the desire for land, mineral, or water rights have uprooted or led to the slaughter of indigenous people in many places around the world, including here in the U.S. as early American settlers advanced across this land. Our desire for more, not being satisfied with what we have, has led to the uprooting and the slaughter of indigenous people. Addictive behaviors, from food to drugs and alcohol, and the medical care required to treat the health problems associated with these behaviors, have driven up health care costs, insurance, making it difficult for many to receive adequate care. And then as we saw in the pandemic, hoarding of resources. How many stocked up on toilet paper? No show of hands. I'll be holding your hand under the pew. But how many of us, or how many people, stocked up on the toilet paper? The hoarding of resources led to the widening gap between the haves and the have-nots during the pandemic, and it continues in other areas as well. Not just those immediate basic need resources, but all kinds of resources. The hoarding of it widens the gap between the haves and the have-nots. Those are just some examples of how our lack of self-control affects not just us, but affects the lives of other people. Affects whether people live without fear or live without the means they need to survive. It does become a justice issue in many ways. So how do we gain self-control? Today, the last passage of our scripture, the last verse, was added from what we had been reading. And let me refresh you on that last verse. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and its desires. We have crucified the self with its passions and desires. We forget sometimes that when we are baptized in Christ, we become a new creation. A new creation. And that with that walk that we have with Jesus Christ, we are able to say no when it comes time. And I'm preaching to myself, folks. But we are able to say no. Jesus was our greatest example of self-control. Our greatest example as he began his ministry by coming up out of the water and immediately going into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And each time, where did he turn to say no? He turned to Scripture. He relied on the Word of God to help him to stand firm in being who God had called him to be, to not give in to those temptations that were placed before him. And so it helps when we are steeped in the Word of God Not that we have to know it word for word, but to know the heart of what a passage says, to be able to recall those passages that help us in those times of struggle. Maybe it's some that we put on a refrigerator, make a magnet and put it on a refrigerator or on a post-it note and put it on our mirror so that we see it in the mornings. Or that we stick it in our backpacks or our lunchbox when we go to school or to work. But it's somewhere where we see that. So if we know that this is going to be an issue, we have that passage before us, or we have placed it on our heart so that we can recall it and use that to help us to withstand the temptation before us. To rely on Scripture. But then after he left the wilderness and he began going throughout the countryside, every minute of every day, he was faced with temptation. He had a lot of people he could have lashed out at easily, couldn't he? And a couple of times he did, in his righteous indignation, hold them accountable. But he could have lashed out a lot of times. And to have the self-control to stand before Pilate, to stand before the Sanhedrin, to stand before all of those who were mocking him and not lash out at them then required a lot of self-control. I've mentioned it before, and it's worth mentioning again, that every time Jesus did something huge, miraculous, every time he found himself in conflict with others, he would spend time in prayer. He would pull away from the crowd, find some time to himself, and to spend that time in communion with God, his Father, reminding him of who he was and whose he was. I think we sometimes struggle with that issue of self-control because we too forget who we are and we forget whose we are. We forget that we belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And when we rely on God's strength, then we are able to overcome. When we give in to that temptation and that pulls us away from God, then we begin to forget that we belong to God. But God wants us to be in control. He wants to give us that strength, that power to overcome. He wants all of us to think about how does our living our lives with self-control, how does that affect our witness for others? Where am I contributing unknowingly to injustices because of my lack of self-control? Where do I need God's strength to regain self-control in my life? As we close this series on the fruit of the Spirit, Paul reminds us, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In every part. In how we live within the church, and how we live within our families, and how we live within our schools, and how we live within our workplaces, our marketplace, our neighborhoods, our sports venues. May we live by the Spirit in all of those places. And may the fruit of the Spirit manifest itself in each and every one of us. And let's say them together. In love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Lynn reminded us a second time, against such there is no law. That is how we are to live. Let us pray. Oh God, self-control is so hard. And we deceive ourselves thinking that we are in control when really we're not. We're being controlled by something other than you. But you long to be the one who controls us, not as a puppet does with a marionette, puppeteer with a marionette, but as one who loves us and guides us and directs us and wants only the best for us. Lord, you want our lives to reflect this fruit in all ways, including self-control, because it's not just about self. Our self-control affects others as well. Lord, as we have learned from this series, may it help us to truly live a spirit-filled, fruitful life in the community. May others see you in us. May our witness be a powerful witness for you in all ways that we live and every place we go. It is in your name we pray. Amen.